In three successive chapters of the Apostle Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, he confronted the controversies that had arisen among believers regarding the appropriating of the spiritual giftings. Not altogether different from the spiritual controversies that have surfaced in the church at large today. Interestingly, right in the middle of those three chapters, he hones in on what's most important in the proper application of the spiritual giftings, catch this now, resetting their perspective on what is truly spiritual. Not altogether different from what God is sovereignly intervening to do amidst the recent upheavals in the church at large today. From 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 8 to 13, a composite of transliterations reads like this. All the special giftings that God has afforded us for now will someday come to an end. But agape love goes on forever. Amen. Someday, the gifts of prophecy and speaking in unknown spiritual languages will disappear. For now, we know so little, relatively speaking, even with our special giftings. And the preaching of those who are seemingly most gifted is yet still so limited. But when we have been made perfect and complete at our Lord's coming again, then the need for these inadequate special giftings will come to an end and they will disappear. It can be described like this. When I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child does. But when I became a man, my thoughts grew far beyond those of my childhood. And now I have put away the childish things. In the same way, we can see and understand the things of God in a limited way for now, as if we are peering at His reflection in a cloudy mirror. But someday, we are going to see Him face to face in His completeness. Anybody here looking forward to that other than me? For now, all that we know is partial and incomplete. But then, we will see everything fully and clearly, just as clearly as God sees into our heart right now. And yet there are three things that remain: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is agape love. Now today is Valentine's Day, if you forgot. And for those of you who aren't aware of this story, there was a man and a wife who had a tradition for this special day of the year. He would take her to Walmart, and they would stand together in the greeting card section, and he would read Valentine cards to her out loud. Now that seemed to work fine for them, but I don't think that many men could get away with doing that. Let alone knowing how what they were doing was related in any way to the history of how Valentine's Day got started. And so here's the historical account, as best that I've been able to ascertain it. Approximately 250 years after Jesus was born, there was a priest by the name of Valentine who lived in Rome. And at that time, Claudius was the emperor of Rome, and some people called him Claudius the Cruel. Valentine didn't care much for Emperor Claudius, and he wasn't the only one. Many people felt the same way about him. And the story goes that Emperor Claudius wanted a big army, and so his expectation was that men would willingly volunteer to join. But many of the men just didn't want to leave home and go off to fight in wars. They didn't want to leave their girlfriends and wives behind. And so consequently, there weren't many who volunteered for the Roman army at that time. And this made Emperor Claudius very angry. And so he had an idea that if men were not married, then they would be more inclined to join in his army. And so Claudius decreed by executive order that there would be no more marriages. The young people thought that his new mandate was really cruel. And Valentine thought it was ridiculous, especially because one of his favorite duties as a priest was to marry people. I know the feeling. After Emperor Claudius had issued the enforcement of his edict prohibiting marriages, Valentine, catch this now, secretly continued performing marriage ceremonies. He would whisper the words of the ceremony, "I now pronounce you man and wife." While at the same time listening for the steps of Roman code enforcement soldiers on the outside. One night while performing a wedding ceremony, Valentine did hear soldiers' footsteps at his door. The couple that he was marrying escaped, but he was caught. He was thrown into jail, and he was told that his punishment would be death. As those who would maintain and propagate biblical truth, sometimes it's dangerous to stand up against injustice, hatred, and prejudice, especially when the opposition has been sanctioned by the governing authorities. Sometimes it's difficult to oppose the world's view of things, especially in the midst of a culture that has become more and more opposed to Judeo-Christian views. Sometimes it's difficult to proclaim and maintain the truth of God's love, especially in the midst of a secular humanistic society that has perverted the biblical definition of love. But that's essentially what St. Valentine did. He maintained and proclaimed and stood up for the truth of God's love, even when it was difficult and dangerous to do. And as professed followers of Jesus Christ, that is what we are called to do too. And 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 reminds us afresh along these lines that the message of God's love through the cross of Jesus Christ is foolishness to those who are headed for destruction. But it is actually the very power of God for those who know they are being saved by it. Amen? God, by His Word and by His Spirit, I believe, is refreshing our perspective today. That as we take the risk, to step out in faith, to share the message of God's love through Jesus Christ, we can expect opposition. Opposition from many of the unsaved people that we encounter. Because our message is foolishness to those who are counting on human philosophies to save them. Have you run across any of these people so far? And so it's not always going to be easy to proclaim and maintain and propagate the love of God in Christ to the people around us. But that's no excuse to shrink back from taking opportunities to reach others with agape love in action. Amen?
Amen.
God, by His Word and by His Spirit, encourages and motivates us afresh along these lines through the words of the Apostle Paul from Romans chapter 1, verse 16. He says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of God's love through Christ Jesus. For it is the power of God unto salvation for anyone who believes it.
Amen.
For anyone who believes it.
That's right.
For anyone who believes it. Everyone's a candidate.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen?
Whether they think so or not.
Amen.
But do you really believe that the gospel of God's love in Christ is the power of God unto salvation? Do you really believe that? And if so, then what is it that causes you at times to shrink back from sharing it with others? Further motivating encouragement comes to us today from Romans chapter 5, verses 3 to 5. That when we run into difficulties and trials for propagating our faith in Christ, it helps us to develop endurance in continuing to share our faith with others. And that endurance develops the strength of our character in Christ in light of all that He endured in love for us, for our greater good. Amen?
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
And that strengthening of our character in Christ grows our confidence in the blessed hope for our eternal future in Him. And that kind of hope never ends in disappointment.
Amen.
Because God has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with His unfailing love. Amen?
Amen. Yes.
Now, as I thought about that, I was reminded that it was the Holy Spirit's power propagating the agape love for Jesus that transformed the disciples who scattered on the day that Jesus was crucified, later transforming them into a bold team of gospel proclaimers at whatever the cost to their lives, and at the hands of governing authorities who were sanctioned to oppose them. Now, most Bible historians concur that all of Jesus' original disciples subjected themselves to horrible deaths. They subjected themselves to horrible deaths rather than spare themselves by denying Christ or by shrinking back from sharing the love of Christ through the message of the cross of Christ. They all went forth amidst dangerous, life-threatening conditions, and they knew it ahead of time, to spread the love of God unwaveringly through the gospel of Jesus Christ. How well are we doing in that? In our circles of interaction with people, how well are we doing in that? In our circles of interaction with people. Now, certainly not everyone we speak to about God's love through Jesus will want to hear it. Have you run across people that have flat out said to you, "I don't want to hear it"? Anybody here other than me run across people like that? When I first got saved and I had a lot of zeal with not a lot of wisdom. Anybody here fall in that category with me? It's not hard for me to go to zeal. But over the years, God had to temper my zeal with some wisdom. And I had so many extended relatives that would say, "I don't want to hear it." Flat out, they didn't want to hear it. So I didn't continue to beat them over the head with the Bible. Amen?
Amen.
Not everyone will want to hear it. Some people may choose to avoid us. Anybody here experience being avoided by other people? Oh, here comes that born again nephew of mine. Oh, hi Nikki, how you doing? Born again. So some people may choose to avoid us. And as time goes on in the last days. In a world where conservative free speech is being increasingly censured, some people may even try to silence us. Now, as much as we have a responsibility as ambassadors for Christ to willingly tell people about the love of God through Jesus, even in the face of vigorous, threatening opposition, we are to do so without being combative. Without being judgmental in our approach. And without being tempted to join in with some of the profane counter-responses that are being propagated on social media by certain professed believers. Okay. Reminding ourselves that God hates the sin, but He loves the sinner.
Yes.
Jesus said in John 3:17 that God the Father did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but rather that the world through Him might be saved. Amen?
Amen.
Everyone's a candidate. Unfortunately, many professed Christians are running around shaking their judgmental fingers at lost sinners. And I got to thinking about that. Is what you're liking or reposting on social media representative of God's love in Christ? The gospel is a message of agape love. Amen?
Amen?
But you will be hard-pressed to convince people that the gospel is true and that God really does love them if they don't see some expression of that love in and through your responses.
That's right.
Sometimes the expression of that love, catch this now, requires us to die to self for the sake of others. God, by His Word and by His Spirit, encourages us afresh along these lines from John chapter 15, verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Do you have any friends that are not yet saved? How much of yourself are you willing to lay down, time, resources, opinions, to see them come to Christ? The bottom line is this: sacrificial love for the greater good of another. Sacrificial love for the greater good of another. It takes some wisdom, it takes some discernment. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Now, sometimes when meeting with engaged couples before they get married, the pastor may ask them if they would be willing to die for the other. I've done some premarital counseling over the years, so I get the picture on this. Typically, the answer is a resounding yes. And most of the time, without hesitation.
Yeah.
I have had some couples have a split-second hesitation on that. But they would certainly die for the one they love. But in our regular daily lives, not many of us will ever face a life or death situation. Not many of us in our daily lives will face a life or death situation. We may never get a chance to literally die for another person. And yet every day we do get opportunities to die to self for the greater good of another. During the course of our lives, we are faced with many situations that present the opportunity for us to sacrifice our own wants for the greater good of another. For the greater good of another. Let's say that together. For the greater good of another. God, by His Word and by His Spirit, encourages and motivates us afresh along these lines from 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. We have come to know what real love is from Christ's example in dying for us. And so we also ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. And further encouragement and motivation from Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in and through me.
Amen.
Let that sink in.
Yeah.
Who are you really living for? Who's really living through you? For the life which I now live in this earthly body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself unto death for me. Amen? Make no mistake about it. As professed followers of Jesus Christ, we cannot say that we are walking in the love of God and at the same time live a selfish, self-centered life of self-satisfaction at the expense of others. Because the love of God in Christ is selfless and sacrificial. Husbands, wives, moms, dads, take special note. The love of God in Christ is selfless and sacrificial. John 3:16 reminds us afresh that God the Father so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And based on that verse, we claim to believe in Jesus, and so we're saved. Amen?
Amen.
But as saved people, how truly loving are we to the people around us? If we are truly born again, then we are a new creation in Christ, according to 2 Corinthians 5:17. And so our lives should display the hallmarks of sacrificial love. The kind of love that desires and does nothing but the best for others. Amen?
Amen.
Now, while St. Valentine was in jail and awaiting his execution, While he was awaiting his execution in jail, he was visited regularly by a woman who put her own life at risk for the sake of being an encouragement to him as he languished in prison for standing his ground against the ungodly edicts of the governing Roman authority. And on the very day that St. Valentine was to die, he left the woman a note thanking her for her friendship and loyalty. He signed it, "Love from your Valentine." And it was written on the day he died, February 14th, 269 AD. That note started the custom of exchanging love notes on Valentine's Day. And now every year on this day, millions of people do the same without any conscious correlation to the origin of the holiday and what it really commemorates. Not altogether different from some other holidays we celebrate. God loved us enough to die for us. Saint Valentine loved God enough to die for God's truth. What better way to celebrate Valentine's Day in the true spirit of its historical context than to recommit our lives to sacrificial love? Are you ready to recommit your life to sacrificial love? Bow your heads and take a quiet moment of prayer response now to the word of the Lord as it's come to you today.